Welcome to the HMO Experience, the UK's only HMO-focused property podcast, where every Monday, Matt, Jamie and Steve will inform and inspire you about everything to do with HMOs, rent to rent, and how to set up and grow a successful HMO business, whether you're just starting out or you're already on your way.
Hi guys, I am Matt Harris and welcome to the HMO Experience podcast all around HMO, rent to rent, buying to convert into HMOs. We are on our second episode and we're going to have a little bit more context around rent to rent to give you guys a bit more background. And I will now introduce my co-host, Jamie. Hey, what's up, Jamie?
Hi, everyone. Jamie Medill here. Great to have you here. Thank you for subscribing to this podcast.
And Steve.
What's up? What's up?
Sorry, I've always wanted to do that. Good job I'm not the professional. Yeah, no. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the podcast.
That's great. So now that we've got the intros out of the way, I think we will hand over to Jamie to give us a little bit more of an overview about rent to rent. We'll go from there.
Brilliant. So if you recall from the first episode from the HMO experience, we talked about roughly what HMOs and rent to rent is. So let me just give a quick recap. An HMO is a house of multiple occupancy. Some people call it multi-let, shared accommodation, or co-living. And it's simply taking a property and renting out the rooms to three or more individual people who share common facilities, typically a kitchen and bathroom. So that is HMO. That's the definition. But this episode, episode two, is about rent to rent. What is rent to rent? Rent to rent is simply a property that you don't own, but you control, that is an HMO. And your job is to manage that property, control that property, run that property professionally. You pay a guaranteed amount of rent every single month to the landlord who owns the property or to the letting agent who then pays the landlord. And in return, you make your profit by renting out those rooms, looking after that property, taking care of all the day-to-day expenses and the bills. And the difference between what you pay in terms of monthly rent and what you bring in from the rent from your customers who rent out the rooms from you is your profit margin. And that is basically it. It's no more complicated than that. And this is the whole essence of the HMO experience, is telling you the real story, keeping it real, and making it as simple as possible. So I'm now going to ask Matt to share some of his experiences of his very first rent to rent property.
Yeah, so my experience was very recent. And so it started with having a cup of coffee with an investor, and if you recall from the first episode, and it turned into this, what we are right now. But the first property that we took on it was a six-bed HMO. It was already set up as a HMO. It had been vacant for 6 or 7 months. It was actually the second property that I ever viewed and managed to luck out, because the first property that I viewed, I asked the tenant a bunch of questions. Clearly, they knew what I was after through asking all these questions. And they said, look, we've got a HMO that is ready. I can show you tomorrow. I thought, great, this is perfect. Had a look at it, six bedrooms. It has a smaller box room as well for storage, a nice kitchen diner, breakout space, back garden. I wasn't too overly keen on the area. So I cover northwest London, so between sort of Neasden and Kilburn, West Hampstead, taking in Kensal Rise, Kensal Green, Queen's Park, and going up to sort of Cricklewood and Willesden Green type area.
Okay.
So this was Neasden. This was the sort of very edge of my gold mine, which is something obviously we'll go on to explain in a future episode. As a result of that, although it wasn't necessarily in the right area, the property was set up and ready to go. So entry costs were super low, and the fact that it was licensed, it had all the regulatory requirements in place already, was great. So my, I guess through my over enthusiasm, one of the questions I asked the agent was, you know, what is the landlord looking in terms of rent? She said that number. I said, that's the number that I'm going to offer. And lo and behold, we managed to get our first rent-to-rent deal.
Brilliant.
Which was ideal. And today, to be honest, it has been our best performing property. So despite my hesitancy around the area, the fact that it has six bedrooms, you know, we're achieving about £1,000 profit a month on it, which is great. We've only ever had 1 month over the last 16 where we've had a vacancy.
One room. Amazing.
Vacant for 1 month. I think the experience of that being the first one and setting it up, you know, the lead time to set things up, although it was ready to go, we put new carpet in there and I painted furniture and I dawdled around for 6-7 weeks, just not really focusing on the tasks in hand. But the upshot of that was I managed to learn quite a lot about the setup of HMO. And also the preamble to that, obviously dealing with the agent, you know, getting an agreement sorted out, going through the referencing process. You know, there wasn't really very much negotiation. As I said, I sort of accepted the price that they gave me.
That's great, isn't it? £1,000, despite that.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And like I say, you know, all the hesitancy I had around the area, I think it's kind of testament to the fact that, you know, if things are priced right, then, and you deliver the right sort of product, then, you know, there's definitely an audience for that. And you're going to, you know, attract housemates to the house that will stay for a long period of time, which is awesome.
Cool. Great stuff. So thank you. That's amazing. £1,000 a month.
Yeah.
First deal. Really cool. Mm-hmm. So can you now, for those of you listening to this podcast, can you now realize that actually it can be quite quick to generate some decent income for a property you don't own using the rent to rent strategy? And one of the things I really like, actually, is we're going to be sharing loads of our experiences about how you can secure properties, just like Matt's, from letting agents and going direct to landlords in future episodes. So watch out for those. So Steve, would you want to share with those listening to the podcast our very first rent to rent HMO?
I would love to, but I'm going to take you way, way back.
Oh, okay.
Back to 1992.
Oh, my days.
First, not 1992, 1988.
Wow.
Even older.
Matt, you remember 1988?
Just about.
Yeah. So I was a student going into university, and an HMO, although I didn't know it at the time, was where I lived as my first place away from home. And it was awesome. It was a 6-bed property. There's me and 5 mates, and we had a blast. We had air freshener fights.
Nice.
We had chip fights, pee fights. Well, not pee fights as in pee fights, but pee fights as in garden pee fights. Yeah, exactly.
What air freshener fights? So whoa.
Because my dad worked for a company called Johnson Wax, and they made air freshener. So when Brian, the landlord, came round, he was amazed because it always smelled so clean. It always smelled of cotton. Cotton fresh. That's the one. So, it just smelled absolutely fantastic. So, yeah, we were sort of 18 years old, didn't really know what we were doing, didn't know it was an HMO.
Yeah.
But now I think about it, when I was handing over the readies to Brian, he must have been absolutely keen in it. And sort of fast forward to 2014, meeting up with Jamie, him helping me on my property journey, and then going into rent to rent in Bedford. That was an eye-opener.
Mm.
So we went on some very basic training, and we were told all the signs to look for. So the typical sign is that you're looking for 2 people for every 1 room.
Sure.
So looked at Bedford, wasn't the case. Never going to work in Bedford. And my wife got fed up with me driving all the way up to Liverpool and staying in Liverpool and coming back. And she said, well, that's what you're doing in a corporate life. So what exactly has changed since you're in your job? And I said, well, we're now freer. She said, you're freer. I'm not freer. Find something close to home. So we tried Bedford. I started the rent-to-rent company with another business partner. That kind of didn't work out. Then partnered up with Jamie. Took us 6 months to get our first property.
How did that partnership work out, you and Jamie?
Still work in progress.
Okay, good.
But blossomed soon after. Yeah, exactly. And negotiated our first contract with the amazing, if you're listening, Mr. Bat, you are totally amazing, and his son KO, big name check there. And they put their faith in us, and we got our first property. It was a 6-bed property. It's an ex-care home. So that is a really good properties to look for you viewers and listeners out there. Ex-care homes, particularly the smaller ones, because they're becoming uneconomical to run. So a lot of people are now considering to turn those into an HMO. And they're brilliant because they've got all the infrastructure in place. We'll talk more about fire safety and what you need to have in future episodes, but it was completely set up. And we made, again, another classic mistake. We opened on a Saturday after six painful weeks of getting it ready. We painted it ourselves. We did numerous trips to IKEA. I cut myself in the process. So beware if you're putting together your flat packs. I mean, the Swedish are amazing, but for in terms of time wasting, yeah. Unbelievable. A bit like their football team. So 6 weeks it took us to get there. We opened on a Saturday. It was a lovely blue sky. We had all the rooms staged and made up. We were waiting for all the people that we'd invited.
Did you have cookies?
No, we didn't have cookies. But we were suited and booted. And it was a lovely hot day. In 1st of July it was. And we invited people along at 12 o'clock. No one turned up. 12:30 came. No one turned up. We're sort of thinking, what the hell's going on? So eventually someone turned up and they bought a room. So in that first 3 days, we generated something around 1,700 quid's worth of revenue. Got our first three customers. We still had three rooms to fill, but they were filled soon after. And then that property generates 930 odd quid a month.
Nice.
So that was. And then you start to think, well, if I can get 930 quid for that one, how many do I actually need in order to get to the number that I want to be at? And we started to get another one. Interestingly, our second one came 3 months later, and then we took four on in the space of 6 weeks. So really getting the first one is the biggest challenge.
Yeah.
But once you get your first one, once you get your foot in the door and you build up a relationship like the amazing Mr. Bat, or you build a relationship with the agent like the amazing Jane, then you start to think about, well, who else can I get in contact? And then you've got a proof source. So what we actually then did is invited all the agents around to our first one and started to build up more relationships that way. So yeah, that's sort of how we got into rent to rent. But then we started to look at purchasing, and because we were operating in Bedford, we thought, okay, well, we're doing rent to rent in Bedford, let's go and buy in Bedford. But there is a threshold between what you can charge for rent and the purchase price of the property. And as soon as you go over that threshold, it just doesn't work. So then we went on a bit of a mission to find another area. And that's where I'll hand over to Mr. Medill to tell you about the second part of our journey.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. So as Steve mentioned, the amazing Mr. Bat and that property on Castle Road in Bedford was our very first HMO. Made loads of mistakes. We learned from a theoretical course, and we realised very quickly that the theory is very little reality. Hence why we're doing the HMO Experience podcast.
Isn't that like university,
man? Yeah. It's what it should be like. It's what it really is like. So that's why we're doing this podcast for you. So to show you the reality. So you don't make mistakes that we made in the very early days. So Steve mentioned rent to rent, and he mentioned we made £932 after all costs for our very first property. But we wanted to buy. So that leads us on to Coventry. And now Steve and I now buy in Coventry. And inadvertently, we didn't realise this at the time, we trained somebody, a guy called Alex, on how to do HMOs, how to buy HMOs. This is a few years ago. He then went off and bought a whole load. And he then asked us to give him some help and advice on his business, how to scale and systemize so it's generating more profit without doing, you know, more work. So we helped him do that. And when I went up to go and meet Alex and his team up in Coventry, I suddenly realised this was perfect for us. It was perfect for Steve and I. So we started buying some houses up there too. I'm going to give you an example of one of our most recent purchases. So when I first had a vision of HMOs, I thought you had to have big houses, big properties, rent out the rooms, because of course you must have more than whatever it is. Someone told me six or more rooms to make it worthwhile. And in future episodes of this podcast, we'll share with you more of the detail about how to buy properties and refurbish them. But let me just give you a quick example of one that we recently bought. This was our smallest HMO. It's tiny. It's a tiny little terraced house. There were two bedrooms upstairs, and the third was a tiny box room, which wasn't fit for anything apart from putting in a cot. So a very, very, you know, young family, for example, or having a store space. Downstairs, there were two rooms, sitting room and a dining room that led onto a galley kitchen, and out the back was a bathroom. So that was the property we bought.
Oh, wow.
It was very tired. It needed a lot of work. So within 9 weeks, we ripped everything out internally, literally everything, and we rebuilt that with our building team, our power team, and we'll tell you more about how you can get a power team in future episodes, who did all the work for us. And we made that into a five-bedroom, five-en-suite professional HMO. That rents out within less than a week and makes some really good profit from that too. So it just shows you that you can do this via rent-to-rent to generate income. All the things we'll be sharing with you on this podcast are things that you can actually practically go and do immediately. And we're going to give you loads of freebies and giveaways throughout this HMO Experience podcast series. But you can also use exactly what you're learning here to go and buy too. So the whole strategy works.
Nice. Wow, 500 suites. Amazing. Yeah. So I think around the rent-to-rent concept, I think there's probably two or three key phrases that you will come across consistently. Those are subletting, corporate let, and you may come across lease agreement and options from time to time. So I think to give us a little bit more detail around a couple of those, subletting and corporate let, Steve, if you wouldn't mind sharing us the wisdom of your knowledge regarding this topic.
Okay, so subletting. So subletting is whereby you might take on a resident, what we call a residential let. So this is a house that normally a family unit might live in. And that's a typical agreement that a letting agent will issue. It's called an assured short hold tenancy, an AST. Another bit of jargon, which is the contract between you and the landlord, or the person that's renting it and the landlord. And then what happens is that the person who's renting it then decides to invite someone else into that house who's not on the AST or the assured short hold tenancy. But that person that's been invited into the property is paying rent to the person who's renting the property, not to be confused with rent to rent. So subletting is where the tenant is making money from other people, and then that money is not going back to the landlord. And in, I would say, 99.9% of all contracts, subletting is prohibited. And the reason for that is because the person who has come in that's been uninvited has not been referenced. So there is a potential risk that the person who has been referenced and is holding, is the main holder of the assured short hold tenancy, leaves, and the person who has been invited into the property stays. And then you get into all sorts of issues from a landlord perspective in terms of asking politely, obviously, that person to leave. So subletting is breaking the contract, and that is not what rent-to-rent is all about. Corporate lets, on the other hand, is where a company is taking on the assured short hold tenancy, or it could be a management agreement, which is our actual preferred method of engaging legally with agents and landlords. But it's where the company is responsible for the property, paying the rent and all the other responsibilities that is associated with that. And then the company invites in, under an assured short hold tenancy, people to live in that property. So that can be one of two different types of arrangements. It could either be where the company employs directly the people living in the property, which is commonly known as a company let,
yeah,
or where people who are not working for the company are invited into the property on an assured short hold tenancy, which is known as a corporate let. And it's the latter that you need to be communicating to your landlord and agent partners. So hopefully that's, I've broken it down and used some simple terms to sort of communicate what subletting is, and more importantly, why you shouldn't do it. And also the difference between company lets and corporate lets, and why a company let agreement is not suitable for rent to rent, because you don't employ the tenants directly, and why a corporate LEC or a management agreement is a more preferred way of having that legal arrangement.
That's fair. I think I'll expand a little bit on the lease agreement and the option agreement side of things, because leases you would typically come across in a commercial arrangement. So generally, if you're looking to move into an office or take up some retail space or take up like a warehouse, you would typically enter into a lease agreement. Now, lease agreements can be sort of any sort of length of term. Anything over 7 years needs to be registered with the land registry. Anything under 7 years doesn't have to be registered, but there are different legalities involved with entering into a lease rather than a tenancy. So what you would typically find in terms of an assured shorthold tenancy agreement, that's something that is an agreement between an individual or to house an individual tenant, so a person rather than a business, whereas a lease agreement is something you would find more in a business context to take control of the whole of a property. So that includes the structure and the roof, typically, if you get a full repair and insuring lease. I don't want to go into too much detail because it can get a little bit technical, but you sometimes come across people who are operating in rent-to-rent talking about lease agreements. Personally, I have not used lease agreements for any of the properties that we take on. I've spoken with old colleagues in practice as well, and sort of asked them about, you know, whether we should go down the corporate let route or the lease route, and they have for now persuaded me to continue with the corporate let aspect. So I would steer clear from my perspective of lease agreements, and definitely have a good corporate let agreement in place. I know, Steve, obviously you mentioned management agreements as well, which is not something which we've used in our business. So that is lease agreements. And what you would also find typically in a lease agreement is you may propose an option as well, which is an arrangement whereby you agree a price at the date of the option, which can be exercised at any time in the future. So you can have an option agreement for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. And at any time that you decide to exercise that option, then you will pay the option price in order to complete on the option agreement. Now, then there is a purchase process after exercising the option. And again, that's a lot of detail, which, you know, quite happy to go into a future episode. But for now, I think it's just worthwhile mentioning a couple of additional variations which you may come across when you operate in the rent-to-rent game. But I think, certainly from my opinion, going down the corporate let route is the preferred choice.
Yeah.
And certainly, I'm sure future episodes when we talk about, you know, offer and negotiation and closing on the deals, then we'll make resources available which you guys will be able to utilize in terms of corporate lets. I think, Steve, in terms of the management agreement as well. But I think at least this gives you a nice little overview of the different little nuances that you will come across with regards to rent-to-rent.
Yeah, I agree. Again, to back up Matt's point, the legal advice we've been getting every single year for the last 6 or so years of doing rent-to-rent HMOs is very much go down the corporate let route. So in essence, to keep it really simple, there's two contracts that we typically deal with. One is a corporate let that manages the relationship between us as the rent-to-rent operator and either the letting agent, if that's where you got the property from, or directly to the landlord, and we'll cover that in future episodes. And the other contract we use is an AST, a tenancy agreement for those who are renting out the individual rooms to. So that's pretty much it. And we'll cover more detail of that in future episodes. But don't forget, this is your HMO experience. So if you've got any questions at all, go on to the Facebook group, go on to the website, ask us questions, connect with us on social media, and we will absolutely cover those for you in future episodes.
Perfect. I think that for now, we'll leave it there, if that's fair. I think in episode 3, we're going to give you a little bit more context around HMO, housing multiple occupation, just to give you a nice little foundation. And I think after that, once we've given you a kind of overview of the strategy and the approach that we're aiming to, well, that the HMO experience covers, then we'll start looking into, setting up your own HMO business and going a little bit granular once we've given you an overview around all those different aspects as well. So I think for now, unless we have anything else to add.
No, yeah. Nothing at all. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, thank you very much. Goodbye from me, man.
Goodbye from me, Steve Mitchell.
No, goodbye from me, Jenny Mazzillo.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the HMO Experience. Don't forget that all of the resources mentioned in each episode will be available on our website, www.thehmoexperience.co.uk. We regularly update our website with new content to help you along your HMO journey. So make sure you check out www.thehmoexperience.co.uk for more details. Also, remember to join our online community by liking the HMO Experience Facebook page and subscribing to our YouTube channel.